This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Hello, my name's Mike Glennon, and I'm a long-term political activist within the patriotic movement. But much more than this, I'm also a lifelong believer in animal welfare, and I am currently, in fact, the chairman of an animal welfare trust down here on the South Coast. We like to think that history has moved on in terms of compassion for others and respect for the world around us. Progress has been made, but in many ways we still err back to the Dark Ages in terms of the way we treat other life forms. Mankind is the only menace to this planet. Not climate change, not global warming, it's mankind. The global challenges we face are literally insurmountable until we tackle the one big issue, and that is grotesque human overpopulation. This planet would be sustainable with a population of maybe 1 billion, but we are heading later this century for a population of around 11 billion. And yet no global agency, no country, no political party is remotely interested in addressing this in a constructive and proactive manner. Whatever our geostrategic challenges, however, we can, each and every one of us, consider how we should improve the lot of others. And in this short piece, I want to talk mainly about the lot of animals, specifically those in the human food chain. In short, what we all see every day on the supermarket shelf. Over millions of years, we, the naked ape, naturally a vegetarian, began to look at other animals as a food source. And now meat, dairy produce, poultry and fish are the stable diet for most people. On the one hand, one may accept that nature itself is one long predatory food chain and that we are simply just a part of it. But surely, if we are a civilized society, we have a duty to ensure that the suffering of animals is reduced to an absolute minimum. Animals should not be kept in cruelly confined spaces. And certainly in Britain, there has been a very strong trend for many decades to eliminate caged farming of hens. It is, of course, symptomatic of government indifference that cage farming has not been abolished altogether. According to the RSPCA, and I quote, egg-laying hens are one of the few types of farm animal in the UK that on some farms are still kept in close confinement cage systems for all of their productive lives. Westminster timidly leaves all this to market forces, and after all, the vast majority of consumers, who may well elect for free-range eggs themselves, do absolutely nothing to lobby the matter further. It is, however, in the context of mammals that we need to delve more deeply into our own conscience, as these are sentient creatures of a higher level. The live export and import of farm animals for slaughter should be banned immediately. Transportation over long distances by road and sea brings horrendous stress, and once animals leave our own shores, they're at the mercy of cultures which may have not the slightest regard whatsoever for animal welfare. However, the main thrust of today's talk relates to the slaughtering of animals in those Dantesque institutions known as abattoirs. In recent decades, civilized countries have passed legislation that requires any animal for slaughter to be stunned electronically before arteries are cut to bring about death. As far back as 1974, the Council of Europe, not to be confused with the European Union, of course, passed a directive requiring that animals be rendered unconscious before slaughter. The purpose is easy for any intelligent and reasonable mind to comprehend, namely the alleviation of suffering. I mean, which reasonable person would object to that? But alas, in a spirit of blind tolerance, the British government has decreed that groups which do not share these modern values need not observe them, specifically religious groups, mainly Judaism and Islam. The followers of these religions believe that an animal which is destined for human consumption must be fit and healthy when it is killed. Now, historically, there would have been good sense in this, and indeed, there still is. I mean, who would want to be eating their Sunday roast from an anthrax-infested carcass? But the stunning of an animal before it is slaughtered clearly has no relevance to the question of whether that animal was fit and healthy. The food hygiene issue here simply does not, and I repeat, not apply in any way whatsoever. This is a point of rational, intelligent reasoning, not religious dogma. I ask you, which God would want to see unnecessary suffering in any case? And so, we come to the sorrowful subject of halal and kosher slaughter, and the vast number of unnecessary, pitiful sufferings that emanate from it. According to the Food Standards Agency, these figures are from 2019, but an estimated 94 million animals are slaughtered without pre-stunning each year in this country. That includes 91 million chickens, that's nearly 10% of the total, 3.1 million sheep, 25% of the total, and 22,000 cattle, which is just over the 1%. In reality, none of the so-called governments within the UK has a legal requirement to ensure animals are stunned before slaughter. However, all slaughter in Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales is currently on the humane stunned basis. Clearly, it is Westminster that is indifferent to unnecessary suffering. Misery tolerated to accommodate stubborn dogma and a resistance to modern, enlightened attitudes. Fundamentally, this is all at odds with indigenous British culture. There should be one law for all, but in a Britain obsessively embracing multiculturalism, Westminster allows sections of our society to specify their own laws. How would it work on the roads, I wonder, if a certain religious sect believed their creator wanted them to drive on the right-hand side of the road? The followers of certain faiths believe it is against divine will to consume meat which has not been slaughtered in a certain way. Accordingly, our own British government is willing to sideline the vital issue of animal suffering and allow a parallel supply of meat to flow through the food production and distribution chains across this country. So one supply in keeping with our own indigenous British culture of animal welfare, and one supply that is not. Thus far, our elected dictators at Westminster, they show little concern. LBC presenter Ian Dale used a fringe event at a Tory party conference to call for a halal meat ban. And I quote here, to be completely banned, like it is in some other countries. During this discussion, the leader of the House of Commons commented, quote, "I too would be reluctant to ban halal or kosher slaughter. I think religious freedom is very important, and I think in a world where relations between various religions can sometimes be quite sensitive, one does not want to do anything that would seem to be directed against a particular religion." So, this is the view that typifies that of the majority of the Westminster cabal, and yet the majority of voters still merrily back them at every general election. So clearly, animal suffering is not important enough. We're expected to set this sentiment aside to court the favour of religious dogma. Too bad for the majority of British citizens in what we once thought was a democratic country. And too bad, of course, for the scores of millions of animals that suffer wholly unnecessarily each and every year. A fact seldom aired, however, is that the legal provision to produce and supply meat and poultry, which is inconsistent with indigenous British animal welfare values, is specifically limited and confined to consumption by specified religious groups. For example, halal meat can only be supplied legally for consumption by Muslims. To knowingly supply halal meat for consumption at a Hindu wedding, or say a Catholic christening, is actually in breach of law. The same applies to kosher meat. And yet, here again is an example of a British law which our government, judiciary and police have not the slightest intention of enforcing. It's a bit like hoodlums riding their electric scooters along the pavements at 25 miles per hour. And there are countless other examples, including the years it took for our establishment to wake up to the grooming gang scandals. The volume of halal meat flowing through the British food distribution channels is much higher than the market demand from the Muslim population. And the reason for this is that the meat production industry knows that virtually all Muslims and Jews will not eat non-halal or non-kosher meat, but the majority of other consumers will not ask any questions at the supermarket shelf or at the restaurant table. It's much safer economically, therefore, to supply as much halal or kosher meat into the food chain as possible, the path of least resistance. And so it is that in hotels, restaurants, schools, hospitals, aircraft, cruise ships, Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists are unknowingly being served halal meat, which is wholly inconsistent with their own enlightened attitudes towards animal welfare. And yet, with countless everyday products, we are seeing the subtle, and I mean subtle, verification of halal certification on packaging. There is a tiny little symbol printed on packaging that denotes this. For a food processor to carry this certification, they have to pay substantial fees to Islamic certification bodies. For some products, this has no relevance to animal welfare because no animal has been slaughtered, for example, bread. But for thousands of other products, it is wholly relevant. Major manufacturers pay millions of pounds each year for certification of this type, which adds to consumer costs. More worryingly, the millions of pounds garnered from this certification flow into channels which help fund increasing Islamic infrastructure in this country, along with the associated threats we are witnessing year upon year. So there's a clear need for product labelling for the benefit of the indigenous British population. We need to play this game from the opposite side. British consumers have the right to know whether the meat products they are consuming are consistent with their own indigenous attitudes to animal welfare. In other words, we must have clear labelling on all products with meat ingredients, confirming whether they are consistent with their own values. This would hardly be difficult, and it would not attract substantial resistance from any rational quarter. The fundamental solution, that is what it is, and other countries have already shown the way. Non-stunned slaughter is wholly illegal in Belgium, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Slovenia, and Sweden, and other civilized countries are following suit. All we have to do is join in and achieve what the vast majority of British people know to be right. The only true solution is that we use our democratic rights to pass and enforce laws right across our country that are consistent with their own indigenous cultural values. Put simply, the government of our country should be consistent with indigenous British values, and there should be one law for all.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.